Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. The past few weeks that we had the class, we were like going super deep topics. So we're going to go a little bit less deep today. Still very, I think, still very important and relevant, but just like a little less intense. So hopefully it will be easier to understand. This is the final lunch and learn before Pesach. But we're not even talking about Pesach because we're escaping from the Pesach stress today, and instead we're going to focus on the Parsha. So this week is Parshas Tazria, and very often Tazria and Matzera come together, but as it is a leap year, they are separated. But the interesting thing is, so Tazria and Matzera are both two Parshas that talk a lot about different types of purity and impurity, and the purifying process. Tazria opens up with the impurity post childbirth. And then actually, even though next week is called Matzera, in this week's Parsha, it introduces the concept of Tzaras. And Tzaras is just like it's a very interesting thing because Tzaras is a form of impurity, right? So when a person has Tzaras, they have to go outside the camp because they can't they don't want to make everybody else impure. And the process is of purification is done through the kayin, kind of similar to tumas meis, right? To the tuma of that you have to do if you're in contact with a dead person. That also has to be done through the kayin, but that's for taras as well. It is the purification process is through the kayin, but it's not. Most of the other types of tuma are very. Tuma in general is a chayk. It's not an understandable set of laws. It doesn't make sense. It's not rational. But it's very interesting. The way it works usually is there's a physical phenomenon that results in this interesting spiritual status of impurity. So you have a physical phenomenon, whether it's coming in contact with a dead body or certain types of creepy crawly creatures, or certain, you know, menstruation, childbirth, all these like physical phenomenon that happen. And then you have this tuma, which is this, then you become this spiritual state of tuma. With tzaras, it's a little bit different because tzaras, it's actually not a physical cause, but it's a spiritual cause. We know that tzaras comes as a result of somebody speaking Lashon Hara. There are other times that a person could get tzaras, but the main cause for tzaras was speaking Lashon Hara. So that means it's a spiritual cause, and then it's a physical result where you get like this physical blemish either on your body or on your clothes or the things, your kalim, the vessels in your house or on your home itself, and then you have to go through this purification process. So it's a little bit different than the other kinds of tuma, but it's also a very strict kind of tuma. And that's why it says Matzera Chashuv Kameis, that someone who has tzaras is considered like he's dead. It's like a very severe punishment. So it's a very interesting concept. But then to make it even more interesting, so you might think, okay, let's think about us, Lashon Hara. And if you actually study the laws of Lashon Hara in depth, you learned them, you would see that most of us mess up on this multiple times a day. It's not like something that, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime kind of sin, where, you know, once in a blue moon, by mistake, you ate something that wasn't kosher because you weren't so careful, or once in a blue moon, you know, most of the time you could control yourself, but then you get angry once in a while. Lashon Hara, most of us are engaging in it on a regular basis, unless, of course, there are people who are very careful, but a lot of the seemingly innocent things that we say, if you actually learn the laws of Lashon Hara, they're quite broad. They cover a lot. So anytime you're basically speaking about somebody else, chances are you're speaking Lashon Hara. I mean, unless you're speaking very positively, but like anytime you're speaking about somebody else, there's an opportunity to be speaking Lashon Hara. So you would think that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, people must have been getting tzaras all the time. Right? They're speaking Lashon Hara. It's such a common sin. and we have a very strong drive to talk about other people. We're going to talk a little bit about the reasoning behind why we do in a few minutes. But so people must have been speaking Lashon Hara all the time, so people must have been getting Tzaras all the time. But that was not actually the case. In the Pasuk, in this week's Parsha, where it talks about the person who gets Tzaras, it says specifically Adam, a man, when he gets a mum, when he gets this type of Tzaras, and then it goes on to say on his flesh, it goes on to say what he should do to purify. And the Alter Rebbe extrapolates from this. He looks into this word Adam, man. And there are different ways that a person could be referred to in the Torah. There's Ish, Enosh, whatever. There's a bunch of different ways that you could refer to man, the word man. The word Adam, used for man, represents man in its most complete state. Because if you think about it, where does the word Adam come from? It comes from Adam HaRishon, the first man. And Adam HaRishon was created perfect, right? He was created. He was the prototype of man. He's like this perfect specimen, the perfect specimen of man. So Adam refers to a person when they are in a very complete state. When they are in a very complete state. So the Alter Rebbe learns from this that not everyone would get Tzaras. The only people who would get Tzaras would be someone who is a very complete and holy person. So if you were just the run-of-the-mill kind of person who sins often and is messing up on a regular basis, chances are if you spoke Lashon Hara, you wouldn't get Tzaras. Why is it that only a holier person would get Tzaras? And this is the Alter Rebbe quotes the Alshech, who says that basically if your insides are very, very, very pure and on a regular, right? So let's imagine that you are very pure. So we're going to use some color imagery over here. Pure, what color do we think about or associate with it? White. And on something that's white, what shows up very obviously? Any other color, right? I'm wearing white. I put it on in the morning. I said, let's see if this makes it to the share today. Because you never know what's going to happen. Spill some of the coffee, you're going to get dirty, right? You're going to see that. You're going to see that right away. So white is a very pure color. And what does that mean? It means that when someone is pure, any little external blemish is going to show up very prominently. So what does Tzaras represent? Tzaras is a very external thing. It's a blemish that shows up on the outside of the person, on the outside of the person's body. And it's because they said words that were not good. Words are a very external part of us, right? Words are the part of me that I express outwards. I'm expressing outwards to another person. So if someone is very pure on the inside, but for some reason, and we're going to discuss a little bit more how it could be that someone who's very pure will still maybe potentially say words that are not kind or that fall into the category of Lashon Hara. So that person, because he's so pure, he's going to get a blemish. But if your insides are very colorful because you're composed of all different kinds of stuff, holy stuff, not such holy stuff, you've sinned, you've messed up. You know, we all start off white and pure as children. But then we splatter ourselves with all different kinds of paint and identities as we're growing and developing, and we're not so white and pure anymore. So on me, the nega wouldn't show up. It wouldn't be obvious because internally I'm not 100% pure, and therefore it's not going to show up as an external recognition. It's just something else that I absorb into my insides as part of the messiness of who I am. So it's only someone who is on this elevated level that is elevated enough that the Tzaras is even going to show up. It's almost like you need to deserve the Tzaras. You need to deserve the Tzaras because it's a representation of the fact you messed up, but it's only on the outside. It's not coming from the deep dirtiness that's inside of you. So then we get to the obvious question. If this person is such an Adam, right? Meaning that he's on this level of completion, he's on this high, lofty level, and he's so pure on the inside, how is it that he speaks Lashon Hara? How is it that he is sinning in this way? So to understand this and to answer this, we're going to look at the Rambam. There are two different places where the Rambam talks about Lashon Hara. Two different places where the Rambam discusses Lashon Hara. In one place where the Rambam is discussing in the actual halachas of Lashon Hara, the Rambam is talking about Lashon Hara, and he explains how Lashon Hara, it's as if you speak Lashon Hara, it could be as if you have, it can lead you, if speaking negatively about other people can lead you to be kaifer be'ikar, it says. Meaning, kaifer be'ikar means not believing in the essential tenets of Judaism. That's a pretty intense statement to say about speaking about another person. You would think, oh, I'm just speaking about the other person. Why would it lead me to potentially be kaifer be'ikar? Why would it lead me to potentially stop? What that means at the end of the day is that it might lead me to stop believing in God. So when the Rambam writes this, he explains his reasoning. He explains why he thinks it might lead you to potentially speaking about, potentially not believing in God. So he starts off by saying, okay, so this is how that works. People are sitting around, they're sitting in the bar, they're sitting at a party, they're in a casual state, they're just kind of chilling, hanging out, and they're sort of start talking about nothing, right? They're talking about the words he would say is sort of like talking about silly things, things that don't have real significance. So you're sitting around and talking about sort of insignificant types of things, having a casual, not very important or significant conversation. And then what happens? The next thing you know, they're speaking about other people. And then they start speaking about the rabbis or the leaders and the things that they instituted to do. And so, you know, when people are sitting around talking about things, okay, next thing you're doing, oh, you know, this rabbi said this is how we should keep the halacha, and we disagree with this, or we agree with this, or he's doing a bad job being a leader, or he's doing a good job being a leader. And then they start speaking negatively. As a result of that, they start speaking negatively about the Nevi'im. Obviously, this is not happening today. We're not talking necessarily about Nevi'im. But after they speak about the rabbis, then they speak about the Nevi'im, who are representatives of God. And they say, no, you know, he must have made this up or whatever. And then finally, they start speaking negatively about Hashem. So he says that when we sit around and we start in this trajectory of negative speech, eventually, where does that lead us? We talk about all the things that are relevant to us, and we are in a negative headspace, and eventually that leads us to speaking negatively against God. And that's how Lashon Hara can lead to being kaifer be'ikar, to not believing in Hashem, or doing something that is like against like the basic tenets of Judaism. So it comes from this general attitude of sitting around talking about. He says that he doesn't even start off saying talking about other people. He says just talking about silly things, like leitzanos is the word that's used, which is just like, you know, shooting the breeze type of thing. And then where does that lead until the point where you start speaking negatively about God? Now, so that's one place where the Rambam discusses Lashon Hara. There's actually another place where the Rambam discusses all different forms of negative speech. In Hilchos Deis, the Rambam discusses all different forms of negative speech that a Jew can do. So he talks about, you know, different ways of like speaking against Hashem, cursing against Hashem, impure language, things like that. And over there, he also mentions Lashon Hara. So you would think that this example, right, this example of speaking about just casual things eventually leading us to denying God, shouldn't that be brought with the general laws of speech? Why is it brought specifically about Lashon Hara? Especially because in this example, we're not even talking about starting off with Lashon Hara, right? We spoke about starting off with just casual speech. So the Rambam, it would fit more precisely into the groups of laws that are just about general speech rather than specifically the laws about Lashon Hara. That question makes sense? Yeah? Okay. So in order to understand this, we're going to break down and one more point is that we actually learn that Taras was specifically for these loftier people from that same part of the Rambam. Okay? So we're going to, where it talks about Lashon Hara. So we're going to break down Lashon Hara into two different parts. Part number one, reason number one, or motivation, two different like motivations behind speaking Lashon Hara. So there's one type of motivation for speaking Lashon Hara, and this is a lot of us regular people probably are led by this motivation. What is this motivation? Somewhere inside of us, we feel some sort of negative feeling. We have some sort of negative character trait within us. Whether that negative character trait is jealousy, whether that negative character trait is anger, whether that negative character trait is like having a negative eye, being a very pessimistic and a negative person where you view everything in sort of a negative light instead of being able to be done l'kav z'chus. So these are negative traits that are within us. And what that does, maybe the negative character trait could be lack of focus and boredom, right? That could be within us. And what does that result in? It results in me then speaking about somebody else. I mean, feeling the need to speak about somebody else in a negative way. And then what results in that speech? What results in that speech? So because of my negative characteristics, I spoke Lashon Hara. And then what is the result of that speech? Somebody gets hurt. So there's two sort of damages that are being represented over here. Number one is the damage to the other person. Number two is the representation of the negativity that's inside of me. The Lashon Hara, if when we're feeling a call to talk about other people in a negative way, it's a very important thing. Before it, not instead of just clamping down and being like, okay, I'm not going to talk about other people, it's not a good thing to do, to stop for a minute and be like, what is my motivation over here? Do I feel like people are going to like me more if I come with all the gossip? Like, it's what was, I think, Eleanor Roosevelt that said, big minds, great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. And like, if we think about this, right, what is this calling to talk about people? Like, we sit around and we talk about people. You see, you can see that there's definitely like a difference between different people. There are people who are more called to talk about people, and there are people who are less called to talk about people. There are environments that are more gossipy environments, and there are environments that are maybe a little bit more elevated and less gossipy environments. But when we feel this call to talk about someone, it's a moment to stop and say, what is inside of me that is triggered, that wants, that needs me to, even like, you know, making a joke about somebody. What is, and in every joke, there's some seed of something that's true, that's making me want to put this person down for some reason, whether it's a lack of self-confidence. That's a very big one for talking about other people. It's not humility, but just low self-esteem. That can lead me to talk about other people. So to stop for a minute and see like, okay, where is this negativity that's inside of me? And so that's one sort of Lashon Hara motivation and reality. And then there's another side to Lashon Hara. And first, going back to the first one, I think that's the one maybe that we maybe emphasize a lot, especially in circles where we talk a lot about Lashon Hara. The idea of like you're damaging another person and, you know, you can, once the words come out, they can never, the pillow story, once the feathers are out, you can never get them all back in, et cetera, et cetera. But then there's another element of Lashon Hara that maybe we don't think about so much. And that is that the words themselves, even if they're not going to damage another person, even if you know the another person is never going to be damaged from these words, the words themselves have an impact on the person who is speaking. The words that we speak impact us. And this is like a very important point, and I want to stop here for a few minutes. As human beings in the hierarchy of creation, we are called a medaber, as opposed to animals, right, or plants, or the inanimate objects. The human being is emphasized. What makes us special is our power of speech. And it's this very interesting paradox speech, because on the one hand, as we discuss in Chassidus many, many times, speech is our most external form of expression, right? It's a very external form of expression. When you're alone, you don't need to speak. Now, sometimes if you're alone and you want to concretize idea to yourself, you want to make an idea, like cement it in your own mind, you could write it down or speak it out even, talk to yourself. And what will that do? That will strengthen the idea inside of you. So speech, like we said, is very external. It's only really for the sake of the other. And at the same time, it also has an extremely big impact upon ourselves. And this is why, you know, these whole concepts of, like, you know, positive affirmations. Positive affirmation. What is a positive affirmation? If you truly believed the thing about yourself, you wouldn't need the positive affirmation, right? So let's say you want to tell yourself, I'm a good person, or you've been told your whole life that you're not smart, and you have this belief in yourself that you're not smart. So you would say a positive affirmation, I'm smart, you know, I'm valuable, if you don't feel unvalued. So you would think there is no point in saying these words about yourself if I don't believe them, because that's, like we said, speech is so external. So what's the point of saying the positive affirmation? It seems so dumb. Like, who am I trying to fool? I know I don't believe this about myself. Why is saying these words going to change anything? And the answer to that is that there's an extremely strong power in speech. And at the beginning, maybe I will not believe it, and it will feel very silly to say these words. But the more you say them, it hits into a very, very, very deep part of ourselves, into a deep part of our subconscious, superconscious psyche. The words come back into ourselves. That's the power of words. And in general, sometimes, you know, there's two approaches to something. If you have like an issue, sometimes we can approach it from the inside out. We want to get to the root cause of something. Sometimes if you deal with the symptom, I know this is like contrary to what we might think, sometimes dealing with the symptom can actually, you can work from outside in. I'll give an example that I saw recently with myself was, I have a lot of like jaw clenching TMJ pain. And recently I started to do a little bit of like just jaw massaging to help unclench some of that pain. And what I found was that I actually felt more calm as a result of doing that facial massage. So what's that doing? What's going on over here? Why am I clenching my jaw? I'm clenching my jaw when I'm not feeling calm. But by relaxing the jaw, it helps me feel more calm. So I don't necessarily have to get to the root of the stress, but by changing my stress response, it impacts the stress. So you're working from that external point and working back in. And so when we're talking about these words of Lashon Hara, the words themselves, the fact that you're speaking these words, even if no one is getting hurt, and the Rebbe says, even if it's not coming from a place of wickedness or badness inside of you. And we bring the example, like a good example for this would be Miriam. Miriam is the example in the Torah that is brought for Tzaraas. Now Miriam was one of the Nevi'ahs, right? So obviously a very holy woman. She really saved the Jewish people, Miriam. She obviously cared about her brother Misha very much. She risked her life for her brother. So when she speaks about Misha, is it coming from a place of malice within her? Is it coming from impure feelings against him? No, she's a tzaddikah. She doesn't have this feeling of jealousy or hatred towards her brother or even coming from her own lack of confidence. That's not what's going on over here. And at the end of the day, did those words even damage Moshe Rabbeinu? No, they didn't. They didn't change any reality on the ground. But still we see that she gets tzaras. So there's positive intentions over here, and it's not having negative effect, and still she gets tzaras. And the point is that the speech itself, the fact that there's negative speech in the air around someone who is so pure, causes this nega to come out. It's the impact of the speech, and it's a representation of what the speech does to us. That when we speak negative words, like we said, most of us aren't clean enough that we get to it, and tzaras has gone away. Because we're not in a generation where we're not living in a world where we are in this purified state that we can recognize this impurity on a purely external level. But the same thing is happening to us, that when we speak negatively, even if it's not coming from an impure place within us, and even if it's not hurting someone else, there's a power in speech. There's a power in words, and we have to be so careful about the words that we engage in. And So it's like a totally external thing. It's a completely external thing, and yet it can have such a strong effect. And that brings us back to the Rambam. Why is it that when he's talking about the laws of tzaras, he gives this example that we said looks more fitting to go into general words, the general discussion about negative words? And the reason is because he's showing the impact of words. Yes, you might be a very pure person, but if you start speaking impure words, and the example he brings are just like we said, sitting around talking about insignificant things. That just sitting around and talking about insignificant things, our words are going to then come back and impact us. And what's going to happen next? You'll be speaking about people. And then you'll be speaking about the rabbis. And then you'll be speaking against Hashem. Because the more that we speak in a negative way, the more and more and more desensitized we become to our own words and to the effect that they're having on us. And when we look at also how tzaras happened, it said that first, if a person who was, again, very pure would say some sort of lashon hara potentially, it would first appear on his house. And then it would appear, which your house is yours, but it's still very external to you. And then it would appear on your vessels, on your stuff. Your stuff are a little more personal to you than just like the walls of your house. It's the things that, you know, you specifically chose, the things that you're engaging with all the time on a regular basis. And then if we didn't fix it, it would appear on your clothes. And then if you didn't fix it, it would appear on your body. Because again, we see that I guess you could say, I don't know what it would look like actually what tzaras looks like. It was actually, you know, identifying tzaras was a whole art that the Kayan had to learn. But we see that the influence is becoming more and more and more internal. Right? We start external, and then the influence becomes more and more and more internal to emphasize to us the power of the influence of the words that we speak. So again, putting aside the intention, which, like we said, is so important to evaluate, just because it can teach you a lot about yourself and how you interact with other people and probably improve your relationships if you're able to discover where the malice is coming from. But putting that aside, just engaging in speech, when we talk, and I know it's hard, it's hard to be constantly aware of how we speak, but if you think about it, there are certain types of people that you just wouldn't go and speak lashon hara with them. You wouldn't go and approach them with a piece of gossip. Why? Because you know that they're the type of person that has a certain way of speaking. that their mind is in a certain place and that the things that they speak about are of a certain elevated nature. So you would feel silly to go up to them and gossip with them. It just doesn't feel right. And we could become that type of person, that somebody else knows is in a little bit of a more elevated headspace, that you wouldn't just come up to them and just share the latest piece of news with them. And maybe they're missing out. They're missing out on all the fun social club activities, whatever. But at the same time, that means that we're in a more elevated, transcendent state of being. And then just the last point is that we said that it's specifically the kayin who, gets rid of tsaras. So back to our holy person. If they're so holy, why is it that they're able to speak some sort of something that's not so holy? So first of all, we said it's completely external. It's not like it's coming from a negativity within them and it's being expressed. But second of all, the Rebbe says that at some point deep inside of that person, they've refined all the parts of themselves that they are able to refine, but somewhere deep inside of them, there is some sort of kernel of bad. And that is why they're able to speak bad words. Like we said, the words which are the most external are connected to the deepest parts. So the most external parts are connected to the deepest parts. That's sort of like a rule in Kabbalah and Chassidus, is that nuts, hilasam b'sayfan, the way something presents itself externally means that it's rooted in the core. And so that means that somewhere, if they're able to speak something negative, that means somewhere in their core, there's some tiny little bit seed of evil that they have no control. It's not like they have control. You can't fix that yourself. It's within Hashem's. We can't be aware of our own super conscious. It's impossible. So this is where the kayin comes in. That through the process of purifying the tsaras, what the kayin does is he's able to extract that kernel of negativity from that person. And this is because kehanim are connected to, this is just Kabbalistic words, we're not really going to understand this, but the kayin is connected to the deepest parts of chesed. That's what kahuna is. Kahanim in general are connected to chesed. And so the kayin's soul is rooted in a super deep part of chesed. And therefore, it's the kayin who's able to draw from the deepest parts of chesed. He sort of can get into the person and withdraw whatever the last remnants of evil that are within them, or negativity, not evil, negativity that are within them that enabled them to even speak these words in first place. And the interesting thing is that part of the process of the purification process is that the kayin has to say with his words that this person is tahar. Because again, we're going back to this idea that through saying with words, we dig into the deepest parts of a person. That it's through the power of speech that we're able to dig into the deepest and furthest depths of a person. So even though a lot of this discussion is not actually so relevant, because we're talking about tsaras, and it says that the reason tsaras is not around anymore is because most of us, there are no, even the greatest tzaddikim today, it says, are not worthy of tsaras. They're not at the point of purification that they would be able to have tsaras when we're in galus. But so on that level, this discussion is not so relevant. But I think it is the part that is very relevant to us is to just understand the power of our speech. And not just our speech, I think take it a step further, just the power of our conversations. That where we, what we talk about when we're just sitting around, that is a reflection of the deeper parts of yourself. And not only is it a reflection of the deeper parts of yourself, it's constantly going back into you and creating who you are. That the words, the conversations we have create who we are, and thereby create our reality. So I think that's something that we could all just take a moment to think about. Obviously, we're not going to all, our conversations are all not going to be purposeful and meaningful. That's a lot. But if we could just try to make our conversations more purposeful and meaningful as much as we can, and bring a sense of purpose and meaning and purity to our lives. So yeah, we should all merit that space.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.